Beloved radio friends, we welcome you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We commence a meditation upon the rapture of the saints. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 through 17, we read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be forever with the Lord." Will all the saints be caught up when the Lord Jesus comes? We answer decidedly in the affirmative. We are confident and assured that it is the teaching of Scripture which we shall seek to prove. Certainly in the world today, there are many children of God realizing that Christ is coming and coming soon. Therefore, the expectation of a near fulfillment of the rapture seems to be quite general. Our portion in 1 Thessalonians 4 sets forth very clearly this momentous event. It reveals to us three distinct actions which are readily discerned. First of all, the first action will be one of descent. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Not a deputation of holy angels, not even the archangel himself. Neither some emanation of God's presence, but the Lord himself. Said Jesus, "I will come again and receive you unto myself," in John 14:3. The angels confirmed this fact in Acts 1:11, when they said, "This same Jesus shall come again." These promises must be, and they will be, fulfilled. The second action of this event is one of resurrection. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." Not some of the dead in Christ, not just the church saints of this period, but also the saints who lived before Christ. Even they shall be raised. Not merely the dead whose testimony may have stood out with exceeding power and faithfulness, such as the Elijahs of history. No qualification is made that would signify a partial resurrection. But there is a sweeping statement in its broad truth: the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then the third and final action is one of translation as well as transformation. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Not some of us, if you please. Not merely a few Christians. Not alone those who are overcomers, which all believers ought to be. Not just those who are watching and looking for Christ, which should characterize all the saints. But the "we" of our Scripture gives only one limited qualification. We must be alive and remain on the earth when the Lord comes. We must not overlook the importance of watching and serving and overcoming, but let us not be guilty of adding to the Scripture that clearly and simply states the fact. So in answer to our opening question, will all the saints be caught up when the Lord comes? This particular and complete revelation from 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17, through the Apostle Paul, contains no suggestion of a partial or a selective rapture, but describes the blessed event in such clear terms that it embraces all believers. There are other scriptures that can be applied to our question, which, though they may not reveal the rapture in detail, they have a bearing upon the same event by their relation to it. We suggest in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the doctrine of the resurrection is taught. Now, the rapture is not the theme of this chapter. But since we have noted in 1 Thessalonians 4 that the resurrection of the saints, the first resurrection of the just, is but the preliminary to the rapture, this section of God's word in 1 Corinthians 15 bears upon our subject. The beloved apostle bases his teaching of the resurrection upon the great fact of the resurrection of Christ. And the resurrection of Christ carries with it the pledge of the future resurrection of all men, but every man in his own order. In verses 23 and 24 of 1 Corinthians 15, we have the order of the resurrection enumerated very clearly. First, there is Christ, the first fruits. Second, then they that are Christ that is coming. And third, then cometh the end, which is in connection with the resurrection of the wicked dead. The second order of this resurrection particularly refers to the resurrection of the saints, which takes place at the time of the rapture. They that are Christ that is coming. Who participates in the resurrection is very definitely clear. They are described as those that belong to Christ. There is no hint of a partial resurrection implied. For at his coming, all who are Christ shall be raised, no more and no less. Therefore, there is no select and there is no partial resurrection implied here. Furthermore, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, from verses 45 through 49, we have indicated that those who are raised at the rapture are not only Christ by his possession, but they also have his own life and his nature. If you note this section, two men are revealed. There is the first man, Adam, who was made a living soul, and the first man is of the earth, earthy, writes the apostle. For did not Adam reproduce himself in all the generations of mankind? And always according to that original law of creation, which is expressed in those words of Genesis 1, repeatedly after his kind. The 20th century man is but Adam the first, after his kind, a living soul, but natural and earthly still. But the second man is described as the last Adam, and that he was made a quickening spirit, and that the second man is the Lord from heaven. Consequently, those who belong to Christ, they are after his kind. Wonderful truth. They possess his own life and his own nature. And in resurrection that is coming, they are to bear the image of the spiritual and the heavenly man, Christ himself. So we would safely conclude, when we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, concerning the rapture, and that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 23, concerning the resurrection, that they that are Christ that is coming, we are reading of the same body of saints. Christ will raise those who belong to him, not only because they are his possession, but because by his redeeming grace, they possess his life and his nature. What a glorious resurrection that will be, when all the saints, from Abel down to the coming of the Lord for his people, shall rise from their graves. Millions of them, everyone a true believer, everyone possessing the divine life of Christ himself, they will be raised from their beds of sleep out of the dust of the earth, to rise into the clouds above, to meet the Lord in heavenly glory. Their bodies of corruption were planted into the grave, but their spiritual bodies of glory will be brought out of the graves at the assembling shout of the Lord himself when he descends from heaven. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul records the triumphant note of joy at the end of his exegesis in 1 Corinthians 15, when he writes to say, "Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 57. What a joy to recognize, and please may I reemphasize it, that in connection with the rapture, the first part of that rapture will be the resurrection of the saints, and in relation to the chapter of 15 of 1 Corinthians, that glorious resurrection is described in that portion of Scripture too. And what joy will be the great victory when all the saints shall be raised from the dust of the earth to meet the Lord in the air. But now may I ask a question that is very pertinent to those who are living and receiving this message. If you were to pass this very day through the door of death into eternity, would you be assured of having a place, of taking a part in this glorious resurrection of the saints? May I remind you, there will be two definite resurrections. They are spoken of in John chapter 5 and verse 29, one of them being the resurrection of the just unto life eternal, the other being the resurrection of the unjust unto eternal doom and damnation. Please, may I emphasize again, in the closing moment of our message, the day of resurrection is divided between those that are Christ and those who are not. First, in the first resurrection, those that are Christ will be raised from the sleep of death, and their bodies transformed in special glory and spiritual glory and heavenly glory to be like Christ. But the resurrection of the unjust, which takes place many years later, will be the resurrection of damnation. So, my friend, we pray that if you are unsaved, and if you were to die unsaved, you would have your part in what the Scripture teaches as the resurrection of damnation. Oh, I would close this section of our message with a plea that if you are unsaved, you will consider your soul's deep need of Christ, that through His redeeming blood, you can by faith in Him be assured of a glorious resurrection when the rapture of the saints take place. My beloved friend, do not procrastinate. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The great event of the rapture is without question of doubt, imminent and soon to take place. Make sure you belong to Christ. Come to Him as a guilty sinner. Receive Him as your Savior. Put your faith in His redeeming blood. Blessed Father, in the precious and worthy name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus, whom we know and whom we believe is coming soon, speak to the hearts of the unsaved to bring them to Christ now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.